Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the show which helps you lead where God has placed you. I'm Andy Peck. We recently celebrated 70 years of the National Health Service. And of course, it's no surprise that many Christians work within nursing, either in the NHS or within other aspects of the profession. Well, I'm joined this week by Steve Fouch, who was, as well as having been a nurse, has been involved for 13 years in the national and international Christian fellowship movements for Christians in nursing and midwifery, and is now handing on the baton to others. So welcome, Steve, to the Leadership File.
Thank you, Andy.
So your own journey into nursing?
Well, it was a family thing in some ways, because my mother trained as a registered sick children's nurse at Great Ormond Street back in the 1940s and 50s. So I grew up with stories about nursing as part of my everyday life. And I always knew that really it was either medicine or nursing that I wanted to go into. And eventually I went to study nursing at the University of Surrey in Guildford, which was then one of the first degree courses in the country in nursing, although that's the norm these days for all nurse training. Back then it was a bit of a novelty. It was a natural career path that came out, really, of what was in my family already.
And it's a four-year course, which includes some time in industry, isn't it, classically in Guildford. So was that that was into a hospital, was it?
So it was a four-year course, but we actually were doing clinical placements from our first term.
Oh, well.
So literally I turned up at the university, had a brief orientation, and then we were out doing clinical work, which would be normal with most degree courses these days. But it does throw you in at the deep end. Suddenly you're seeing stuff that you've never seen before, you've never had to deal with before, unless you've done care work outside of your training previously. So it was quite an eye-opener.
Yeah. And were you a Christian at this point?
Yeah, I'd become a Christian a few years earlier through my local church. I mean, I grew up in a sort of broadly Christian environment. I think my mother had a real faith, although my father never really was a practicing believer. But it was actually through a very traditional Anglican church, but that had a rather charismatic house group that had been set up by some people who'd come in from the north of England at that stage. And they were talking about relating to Jesus in a way that was different from anything I'd seen before. It was not at all religious. He was like part of the family. They talked about him the way they prayed and included him in everything that was going on. It just opened my eyes to the fact that the gospel was not some weird religious thing. It was about real life, and it was about the cross, and everything else to do with the gospel was about God being involved in every aspect of life. And that's kind of shaped my thinking and my life ever since.
Right. And of course, most listeners will probably have some nurses or been in churches where nurses, and obviously they'll be aware of the shift pattern dimension is challenging, getting to church, getting to small group. Did you find that yourself?
To some extent, although I spent most of my time working in community nursing, so I didn't do the shift patterns quite so much. But during the time that I did, yes, it is difficult. It's very challenging when you're working 12-hour shifts, evenings, weekends, nights, getting into church regularly, getting into house groups and everything else can be really difficult for nurses. It's an interesting thing that the original Nurses Christian Fellowship that started off back in the 30s and 40s started to be effectively a church for nurses within nursing accommodation, so that nurses who couldn't get out and get to church because of their shift patterns could actually still have fellowship together. So it's always been, I think, a challenge for Christians working in that profession, and churches struggle with, I think, the reality that they're not got a regular 9-to-5 working pattern.
Yeah, and there's an emotional toll. Clearly, you're dealing with the tougher parts of human life.
You see human life at all its extremes, good and bad, I think, in nursing. I certainly, from my own experience, within my first term of training, I had seen my first dead body, looked after someone who had died. I saw illnesses and injuries I had never seen before in my life, and it opens your eyes and makes you ask a lot of tough spiritual questions. the more you get into it, the more you realise that that's exactly where God is, right in the middle of the toughest situations. Mm. But to begin with, you look at it and you think, why, how, where is God in all of the midst of this? So it is a tough experience, I think, especially when you start training.
And you have to create a professional, persona. Is it easy to switch off when you come home?
You develop techniques for doing that. One of the advantages of wearing a uniform is that you physically getting out of your uniform and into ordinary clothes, having a shower and a meal and everything else can be a real, that sort of shift in your thinking and in who you are actually helps. And there are other things you can do, but inevitably you take some of it with you. And you can't always just leave it all at the door when you go off shift, no matter how much you try to, because, you know, you're a human being as well. And you see people in need and in suffering, and you want to help. That's why you've gone into the profession in the first place. And then you can't always solve every problem. You can't always deal with every problem. And sometimes you go off shift thinking, what have I achieved today? Have I actually really helped that person or these people? So it's something you can't always leave behind, no.
And it's been typically a female profession. Have you seen much change over the years?
That's not really changed from the time that I trained onwards, really. Nursing has remained predominantly female. The number of men in the profession is still vanishingly small compared to the vast majority. It's about 5 to 10% of all nurses are male, and that hasn't shifted at all.
Yeah. And being a Christian in the nursing profession, you mentioned, you know, the emotional toll, obviously, as Christians, we can pray and talk to God. But there have been, you hear news stories of Christian nurses who've been disciplined for praying and or in talking faith issues with people. And I don't know how widespread that is and whether this is a case of the media, like Premier, in fairness, getting onto a story, you know, because it's a big issue. But actually, generally speaking, it's, you know, people pray and it's okay. So what's your take on all that?
Well, there are a number of issues here. I mean, yes, there have been some very high-profile cases over the years. And when you dig into it, there are a number of things that come to the fore. First of all, a lot of problems arise because of third parties. It's not necessarily the individuals who have the conversation or where the praying's gone on, where the issue is. It's someone else overseeing or overhearing or having it reported to them secondhand who then takes offence and reports it, and then it becomes an issue. So there's not been as many instances of patients or colleagues in those conversations and that in those praying situations who have reported it and taken offence. But there is an issue to do with permission. I think it isn't inappropriate to pray with a patient as long as that is in that patient's best interest and at that patient's request. As soon as we start imposing what we feel onto someone else, that's not good care. That's working through your own agenda. We do a lot of training on spiritual care. This is some of the work that I've been involved with the International Christian Nurses Movement. And one of the key things that we always emphasise within that is it's always got to be the patient's need rather than your need to feel that you're doing something spiritual. It's got to be in response to the patient's need. That doesn't mean you can't be proactively ask questions and say, would you like someone to pray with you, or would you like to talk to someone about some of the spiritual questions you've been raising? And it might be appropriate for you as the nurse to be the person to do that. It might be better to bring in the chaplain or somebody else. Those things should be a part of nursing care, always have been a part of nursing care. The real problem we have at the moment in the NHS is a lot of people are terrified that if they even broach this kind of area, that they'll face a disciplinary, when actually good patient care should be addressing the spiritual questions. Because when you're facing suffering, you're facing a life-limiting illness, you're facing the loss of someone you care about, you're facing maybe a disability or a change in your life that is going to be profound, you will ask very often those deep questions, why me? Is this all there is to life? What comes next? If there's no one there who's prepared to engage with you on those sorts of questions, your care is incomplete.
Yes, it's a holistic...
Exactly. So what we have a trouble with in our day and age, I think, is because we're now a very secular society, people don't really know how to engage with those questions anymore. So rather than engaging with them, we have tended to push them to one side and pretend they're not there. Mm. And this is, I think, obviously this is a role for chaplains and why chaplains are such a vital part of the NHS. But actually nurses, because of the sort of contact we have day to day with patients, have to be very much aware of this as well, because we will often pick up on stuff that won't be seen by anyone else. The chaplains aren't there on the wards 24 hours a day, but we are. They're not going into people's homes and looking after them in their own homes, but we are. So we have a place to be referring, to be talking to people, to be praying with people at their request and with their permission. I always, you know, it's 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to have a reason for the hope that is within you.
Yeah.
But always do it with kindness, permission, and respect. And sure. That is the heart of the.
So if you keep that as your maxim, then that's you won't go far wrong within the nursing world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Steve Fouch. We're talking particularly about nursing, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Steve Fouch. Steve, as well as being a nurse, has been involved for 13 years in the national and international Christian Fellowship movements for Christians in nursing and midwifery. He's now handing on the baton to others. We're going to look in the second part of the show, particularly at the leadership dimension of Steve's work. We were talking before the break, Steve, about the challenge for Christians in sharing and their faith and talking about prayer, you know, whether to pray for patients and stuff, and you know the advisability is to be careful and only when it's invited. And you mentioned hospital chaplains along the way, and I was interested. There's been a little bit of research, I understand, suggesting that the hospitals that have removed Christian hospital chaplains have actually discovered that patients spend longer in beds and illnesses take longer. In other words, it seems as if prayer does matter even in an economic sense.
Well, yeah, I mean...
as we know, but...
All human life, you know, is affected by our relationship with God at the end of the day. We are relational beings. It's our relationships with one another and our relationship with God that affect our well-being at every level. And it shouldn't really come as a surprise, but it's nice when the research kind of backs up what we already know and believe. But there's been a lot of research into the value of spiritual care, and it undoubtedly has an impact on recovery. And and actually having a faith in general has an impact on health and well-being. And it's one of those difficult things that doesn't like to be talked about too much in the public square, but the amount of research that's been done on spirituality and health now is huge. There are tomes out there that I could bore you to death with, but I won't.
Okay. The NHS is a very valued institution. I think that's probably fair, but it is a political football, and I just wonder how easy it is to stay apart from that within the work you do.
It is difficult because inevitably there are a lot of strong opinions, and especially when you get into the professions themselves. I think the it's interesting. You go back 70 years to when the NHS started. The medical and nursing professions were the ones that were most opposed to setting up a nationalised health service. Now, any attempt to change it, and you'll find it's the professional, the professions and the professional bodies that will come back and say, no, we're not having this. We want the NHS to remain, and the strongest advocates for it are within the health professions, undoubtedly. So it is a valued institution. I think everybody's life in this country has been touched by it in some way. People of our age group will have been born in an NHS hospital or possibly at home under an NHS midwife. We will have had relatives who have been looked after there. We may have been there ourselves. I've had operations on my teeth and various other things in my youth under the NHS. I think most people will have had some kind of interaction at some point in their life. And if they haven't yet, they will at some stage.
Yeah. Good. Well, moving on to your leading of the Nurses Christian Fellowship. I mean, how have you found it? What's been your challenges?
Well, I could go on for hours about the challenges, but I suppose the most difficult thing is that there are, we think, thousands of Christians in nursing and medicine across the country. But reaching them, communicating with them and saying, hey, you know, there is a network, there are other Christians out there, and there is a value in being connected with one another, has been quite a challenge because it's a costly business trying to get yourself known. And you have to, the only way it really works is by getting out there and talking to people and meeting people. And that takes time, and it's taken years of work, really, to re-establish a viable Christian nurses movement in the UK, because it actually stopped altogether during the 1990s and only really started to get going again in the early noughties. And it's, yeah, the last 13 years has been hard work building that movement up, finding the people who will carry it on. I mean, one of the big challenges is a lot of nurses who are really enthusiastic about supporting the work and developing the work have busy lives. So they reach a certain point in their life where they say, well, you know, much as we value this, I've got kids now, I've got my profession, I've got church stuff, you know, something somewhere has got to give. And this is often the bit that goes. So keeping that movement, keeping that momentum going, keeping the people engaged who can help lead it has been really quite a challenge over the years. And people who've got that vision and the clarity about what it is we're trying to do, why it is important to help nurses to meet together, to pray together, to support one another, to help work through how do you live out your faith in your work. Because I think, if I'm honest, nursing is such an obvious outworking of the Christian faith. Its roots go back to, you know, the first century, the deaconess movement, going out, caring for the poor and the sick, the abandoned children. That was part of what the church was doing from the first century onwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go through the monastic movements and you go on to groups like the deaconess movements in the Lutheran church in Germany in the 18th and 19th century, which then influenced Florence Nightingale, which led to modern nursing as it is today. You see the Christian thread all the way through. And Christians have always been strongly involved in nursing because that care for other people is such a strong outworking of the gospel. But we often struggle to see that in a very secular environment. So helping people to see that and discover that and work that out and to be able to pray it through and work through some of these difficult issues of dealing with suffering and death and pain. It's really important to have other Christians that you can talk to about this. And it's not always easy to do in a general nursing, in a general church situation.
And presumably, practically, finding a place and time to meet with shift and all the rest of it, you don't get, you won't have breaks the same time necessarily in different parts of the hospital.
That is one of the difficulties. I know a number of church-based hospital-based fellowships that do exist, and what they aim to do is just meet at the same time in the same place regularly. And they know that there might be 40, 50, 60 people on their mailing list, but only four or five will be able to turn up at any one time.
But at least they know
they know it's there,
And
that they can share the prayer needs with each other, and they're often on the intranets of their hospitals.
With mobile phones, etc., you've got WhatsApps and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot, you know, you've had Roz Turner on here from Transform Work UK. They have been a great supporter of that kind of movement as well. But we also have groups that meet outside of that setting as well. So we have obviously have groups of students that meet, but also groups that are sort of citywide. So they might be drawing people from several hospitals in the community as well meeting. So there are different ways in which these groups and networks function.
I mean, so time's defeating us, but you're handing on the baton to others. What's how's that been?
well, it's taken a long time. I've always had a sense with this work that I was a steward of it, and that it had been given to me for a season. I hadn't realised that the season would be 13 years, but that's fine, because it's been a huge privilege to serve. But what I've seen in the last few years is the number of people coming forward who have said, actually, this ministry is helping us and we want to give back into it. I've now got a small team that I've been able to hand over to. I've got a new leader within the Christian Medical Fellowship, Pippa Pepiat, who's taken over from me, heading up the nursing work. She's getting a small team together that are now working across the country. And there's real energy and enthusiasm and stuff beginning to happen all over the country now with Christian nursing groups in universities and nursing schools across the British Isles now. It's been a really exciting shift and change, and it's been good for me to let go of that because I know where the limits of my gifts are. Mm. And I think that's one of the key things for a leader is to recognise where your gifts stop
right.
and where other people are needed who have gifts to do that. I'm a great talker, but I'm not necessarily great at getting out and networking with lots of people. I've found people who are much better at doing that than I, like Pippa. And it's great to be able to hand over to them and know that they can lead and inspire and encourage a whole new generation who will take the movement and the work forward and be and have seen the benefit for themselves of being involved with that network. Sure. So, yeah, and it's an exciting transition.
And it's going to include, of course, as we will know, folk from overseas, Christians from overseas. The nursing profession is full of...
It's a very global movement. Yeah. So I was recently in Taiwan talking with the Asia-Pacific Network of Christian Nurses Fellowship. So we had people, 200 nurses together from about 15 different countries across the region. And what's exciting is you see the same challenges and the same encouragements happening with Christian nurses groups, whether it's in Hong Kong, Australia, or Fiji, or India, whatever. They're similar issues and similar challenges. But being able to come together and share and pray together and say, oh, yeah, we are part of one big family in the church, but also one profession as well, and that we have so much in common. Differences of language and culture to one side. I find that really inspiring.
So there will be listeners who are in the nursing profession, not part of a group. So how would they connect with one or connect with you guys?
First of all, find the other Christians in your workplace and see if you can meet with them and pray with them in any way at all, whether it's using social media or whatever else. Just connect them, not just the other nurses, but the doctors and the physios, the OTs, the medical secretaries. The medical secretaries are really good people to get to know. If you find Christians amongst them, really pursue that. But the other thing is, yes, talk to us at CMF, Christian Medical Fellowship. We have, Christian doctors, nurses, midwives, students across the British Isles. We have networks and local groups all over the country. If you're looking for other Christians in the health professions and you don't know where they are in your workplace, get in touch with us at CMF and we can link you in. We can get you connected up. And we have other resources as well, books, regular publications that look at all of the issues to do with being a person of Christian faith but working in the health professions.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Steve, very much for all you shared, for enthusiasm about this particular area of God's work.
Thank you, Andy.
You're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined by Steve Fouch. You've heard his details. There'll be a link on the on-demand section of this show, and it's available very shortly after this broadcast. So thank you, Steve, and thank you for listening. Do, as always, go to Premier's website and find archived versions of Leadership File. Go to iTunes and download, again, archives if you prefer that mechanism. You can get a copy of my book by going to the Premier's store, The Leadership Road Less Travelled, which includes stuff that I've learned from guests like Steve. So look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.